awesome. I had just got my nails done when I got that video done. And didn't they look good? My cuticles, they look. All right, high five two people and say, today's the day. Isn't that good? Now fist bump somebody and say, trust the process. Y'all were so good you didn't hurt each other. I'm proud of you. Today's a day that I'm so excited about as we've been going through this series called Selfless. Didn't we have awesome worship? Wasn't it awesome what we just saw or no? Or there we go. That's the, like you hear the crowds going crazy, right? Ooh, I didn't do that, I promise. That was a referee calling a timeout. So for real, today I will tell you, I've had to trust the process. Because sometimes things go right, especially when it gets with technology, and sometimes it can go completely wrong. But we know who holds the victory, and it's been perfect because worship has been beautiful, the setup's been amazing, and I'm praying that God will let me be his vessel today so that he would speak to each and every one of you what he has for you as he's spoken to me. So as we've been over these past few weeks, we've started with this thing called our New Year's resolution that we all have. How many people are still keeping theirs? Oh, one in the crowd here. Praise God. Praise God. I'm working on mine. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't got it together. So we talked about how important it was to know where our hope lies and what is it in. That's how we started this series off. And then these past 2 weeks, we've been talking about who we are in Christ and why we do what we do matters. Because if we look at who we are before we do anything and we understand why we do it, then the what will always come along. And we've been learning through this and from this guy named David in the Bible. And whether you've been in church 20 years, you've gone to VBS, you don't know who Jesus is, you don't care who Jesus is, you've probably heard this story that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about David versus Goliath. But here's how I want to set it up. So as I was getting ready for Christmas too this year, I got to see my niece and nephew got these really cool toys, these Segways. Like, you know, like they can go back and forth like this. This is the only way I could do it or I'd break my hip. I'm not going to lie to you. It would be really, really bad. Like they've got these Segways. But it brought me back to as a kid growing up, how many folks got a bicycle for Christmas growing up? And now my niece and nephew have been down that road too where they got, you know, you got the bikes for Christmas or for birthdays. So here's what we're going to do. We're talking about trust the process. So when you got your bike, there was probably something on the back wheel, right? Like, does anybody remember what those were? Like, training wheels, right? Like, we had to have training wheels. And even with training wheels, like, we thought we had it all together, right? Like, we went out there and mom and dad were pushing, or brother or sister, whoever it was helping us. And, like, we had balance. You'll see where I'm going here in a minute. We had balance. We had life balance. We had it ready to go. Like, I was ready to go. Like, it was our first taste of freedom, right? Like, it was the time we could finally get away from mom and dad for a minute. Plug in our cassette and our Walkman or our CD, whatever it was, and go do our thing and ride off into the wonderland, right? Like, but we had to have our training wheels on. Now, maybe you're from the generation that has helmets, knee pads, elbow pads, face guards. I don't know. I didn't have any of that. You just fell, and you had a story to tell after that. So, like, I don't know about you, but for me, I got to thinking about this message today, and it made me think about Christmas and think about those cool Segways, and it made me think about where we are and what we're doing and this bicycle ride of life that we're on. Because so many times, how many of us were ready to get those training wheels off like after a week? Like we were ready to take those, because we had it figured out, right? We had it figured out. We were ready to go. We were ready to take off and ride into the wind. And probably that same day or the next week, we crashed. Because we didn't have balance, right? Like I remember my crash. I remember skinning my knee and I remember feeling like, nobody was as upset about it as me. Like, I'm bleeding out here. There should be TV cameras, an ambulance, policemen, firefighters. I am bleeding out. Did you not see me skin my knee? Like, I am bleeding out. Somebody should be freaking out, right? Like, I don't have it together, right? Like, something's wrong. But then all of a sudden, as we go and we get older, the phrase we use is like riding a bicycle for something that's familiar with us, right? And so many times we forget there was a process to learn how to ride the bicycle. We had to have the training wheels on first, unless maybe you didn't have training wheels. If you didn't, you are so much better than me. But I had to have training wheels first, and then we got our bicycle, and we learned to balance ourselves on the bicycle through trusting the process, and then we could go places far beyond our yard, right? Places to the deep unknown and the hill and the cul-de-sac down the road, right? Like to the deep unknown, to the local grocery store down the road, right? To get a Tootsie Roll. If you know, you know. So that being said, like maybe that's where we are. And we talk about riding a bicycle, yet when we're an adult, we never want to trust the process. When we're with God, we never want to trust the process. We don't believe it's a process. It's, God, I'm obedient, I pray for it, therefore I should get it. Right? Don't we feel that way sometimes? We want God to answer our prayer right now, like, God, I'm in need. Like, don't you see I've skinned my knee? I'm bleeding out, Lord. Like, I didn't break any limbs, nothing's wrong, but I'm bleeding. This is a big deal. I'm bleeding, Jesus. Like, are you not going to move? Like, are you not going to move? And so many times we can get stuck not trusting the process that we miss out on this great adventure that God's called each and every one of us on. So today, setting this up, I want you to remember riding the bicycle, because today's going to be like riding a bicycle. We're going to go back to some things we may know, but sometimes we just have to be reminded of it to know how 2018 is going to be the year of selfless, the best year we've had yet, how the Vine Church is going to turn the world upside down with the gospel, how each and every one of us can live a year like never before, but it starts in knowing where our hope is, who we are in Christ, and why we even do what we do. So today we're going to trust the process. So I'm going to pray, and if you've got your Bible after that, we're going to be in 1 Samuel 17 to this crazy, awesome story that we all know. So Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity for us just to learn about you, for us to know you more, to know you better, but more importantly, for us to be reminded of your faithfulness, for us to be reminded of who you are, for us to be reminded that we may not know what tomorrow brings, but we know who holds tomorrow. So Jesus, today let us walk away from here so much better than how we came in, because we trust the process, because we're giving it all to you. We ask all this in your wonderful, precious name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you got your Bible, if you've got your Bible, I'm going to ask you to get that out. Maybe you've got an app, thumb there, but today's going to be a day where I definitely want you to be able to take notes, some way, shape, or form, or fashion. Take notes somehow. I don't know, you can do it in your Bible. I don't know, you can't look at mine, but I will tell you, I love writing in my Bible. I don't know why that sounds bad. I'm getting crazy look, but it's okay. I love writing in my Bible because I see God's faithfulness. So many times I'll go back to my Bible and I'll look at when I was reading a verse and I'll say, huh, I thought that was a big deal. I just scraped my knee there. I feel like I'm breaking my arm right now, but like God's been faithful through all of it. So if you've got your Bible, I'm going to tell you to highlight some things, circle some things. If you don't like doing that, I'm not going to pressure you to do it. I'm going to tell you you have the freedom to do that, but today's today. You're going to want to take some notes, okay? So here we are, 1 Samuel 17. We're going to start in verse 26, and we're going to go all the way to verse 50 today, but we're going to break it up because you know that's how I roll. So we're going to start in verse 26. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be conveniently on the screens for you. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26 says this. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" Who? Remember, we've been talking about who, why? Come on. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, pause, time out here. If you remember in 1 Samuel 16, we actually got to hang about this morning. The folks at the Gold Stars heard this morning. Eliab was the firstborn son of Jesse. He was the first one that Jesse put up when they said, who's going to be king? He's the one that Samuel said, surely this man looks like he fits the part. He's going to be king. And God said, nope, man looks at outward appearance, but I look at the heart. Remember what we talked about a minute ago? How we want your heart to be a heart that is lined with Jesus, a heart that is just seeking him because that's all he's after in you. So remember Eliab here. And if I screwed up his name, it's all right. You say it however you want to. Maybe you put a dash or something in there, however you want to say that. But remember Eliab here. He's the oldest. Now, I'm the youngest in my family, so I understand how David feels. So I'm going to roll with it. David's oldest brother heard him speaking with the men. If you got your Bible there, I'm going to ask you to underline the next phrase. He burned with anger. He burned with anger. He burned with anger at him and asked him, "Why have you come down here? And with whom do you leave these few sheep in the wilderness?" Oops. "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here to only watch the battle." In the words of the famous theologian, Taylor Swift, or as I like to call, Tay-Tay Swift, "Haters gonna hate." That's like three albums ago and probably four breakups ago. Hopefully we don't get slapped with a copyright for that. But haters gonna hate, right? Like the haters gonna hate. So his brother who got robbed of his blessing, his brother who wanted so bad to be king, saw this little runt. The little brother of the family, little bit, little thing, little pork chop, running along, and he's going to come watch the battle. Like, he's basically telling David, hey, will you let the men be men? Like, don't you have some sheep to watch? Bad. Like, don't you got some sheep to watch? Go do your thing with the sheep. You need to go worry with that. Let the men take care of this. But then he burned with anger. We're going to come back to that here in just a little bit. Now what have I done, said David. Can I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. Here's the first thing I want you to see about trusting the process. Is you have to know when you're in the process and you're taking next steps with Jesus, you'll always face predictable resistance. What I mean by that is David has some jealousy in his family, right? His brother wanted what David was supposed to get. And all of a sudden, David's in a prime position for him to step deeper into all that God's called him to do. And instead of his family supporting him, he got resistance. Here's what I want to challenge you to say, and hear my heart for this today. I will say this, and I mean this with all of my heart. If you're stepping deeper into God's will and you're not facing some sort of resistance, I will promise you, you're probably not in the will of God. That's the whole point of the Christian faith. That's the whole point. That's like the process. Like, that's the trial by fire. Like, you've got to have resistance, because if you're not having resistance for what God's called you to, then that means the enemy is supporting you and is not fighting you. The enemy let his brother burn with anger. The enemy will always burn with anger for all that God's called you to be. Understand that. And he will use words to accuse you. He will belittle you. He will say, look, runt boy, go play with the sheep. Hey, sheep boy, go be a sheep. Hey, you're not king yet. What are you doing here? Go home, get the popcorn fired up, and go make some s'mores, like, out in the field. Aren't you supposed to be doing that? Aren't you supposed to go play your little musical instrument? Like, what is that going to do? Aren't you supposed to play your lyre somewhere? Aren't you supposed to do that? The enemy will always accuse you and will take over those around you. So here's what I want to tell you with that, in this resistance, in this predictable resistance. As you're finding out what God wants for you in 2018, I want you to prepare your heart for some resistance. I want you to prepare your heart for circumstance. Paul writes in the New Testament that they were pressed on all sides, even to death, and yet they will still celebrate because they know who God is. Like, Jesus even says in John, he talks about, hey, prepare to be persecuted. Prepare for the world to hate you because it hated me first. And if our own Lord and Savior experienced that, why in the world do we want to take the training wheels off so quick and we think we're not going to get hurt? Why do we think that we're not going to face resistance? Why in the world do we think just because we serve God that we're not going to have folks hate us, say things about us that aren't true, do things behind our backs that we don't know, not support us, and more importantly, burn with anger at us for the greatness God's called us to? Because as we learned at our greenhouse gathering on Thursday night, they're comparing themselves to us. How many of us can say that happened? How many of us can be there? How many of us would say, oh my goodness, like, I know why I'm getting resistance. I know why this is hard. Like, David's not even taken down Goliath yet, guys. And all we look at this story and say is, man, he's about to go take down Goliath. Like, this is so important because he's got God on his side. But we miss the side story. We miss the Hollywood drama. We miss the Real Housewives or whatever it is they call, or The Bachelor or whatever the heck that is. That drama, that action that fires everybody up. We miss that because we just look at the victory. And here's what I want to tell you. In your process, in your journey of following Jesus step by step, you're going to see places where you've met resistance. And I'm going to tell you, journal about it. I'm going to tell you to write it down when you're facing resistance, because you're going to be able to go back and say, man, that was just a little bit of resistance. I just skint my knee. I feel like I'm breaking my arm right now, Lord. How crazy is this? And you will see how great God really, really is. You know, I was thinking through this too, like, how many of us in our 2018 goal would say, you know what, it's been a, I've been doing good so far. You know, physically, I worked out 3 times last week. That's good enough. Or I budgeted. I saved $5 this week, so I can definitely go out to eat this week, right? Like, I saved $5 last week. Or maybe relationally, we're like, I texted that person. They didn't text back. That's their problem. Holla at your boy. I do that more than I want to. Like, really, like we're sitting here in our 2018 goals, or maybe spiritually we'll say, I read my Bible 3 times last week. That's good enough for me. Like, that's good enough. But then we get the resistance. And then those two words that can haunt you, but the two words that we're celebrating at our greenhouse gathering, the two words that can haunt you is, I quit. I'm just going to quit doing it. I'll get back on it next year. I'll get back next week. I'll be back on it. How many times does next week come and you've quit? So how many times did quitting what God's called you to do get you there any faster than continuing to face the predictable resistance that's in your face from the enemy? The question is, will you quit and step back, or will you step up into all that God's made you to be? Because this is the year that you're going to break out only if you'll face the resistance and trust the one who holds the victory. Let's continue our story as we go on. 1 Samuel 17, verse 31 through 40. This is a long one, so we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to get it going. When David said, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Time out. 2 weeks ago, and we talked about it a little bit last week. Remember, David was, we started the message with it last week. Remember where David was last week? Someone overheard him playing the lyre, and Saul called him, right? Well, now here David is saying, hey, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to take the training wheels off. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go do this thing and get this guy gone and face this enemy. And it wasn't because David was screaming so loud. It's that someone overheard him. David doing things behind the scenes. Remember, we said what you do behind the scenes matters more than what happens when the lights turn on and the show is up and you sing the song and you're on the grand stage and you preach the preach. What you do Monday through Saturday affects what you do on Sunday. If I don't spend time with God Monday through Saturday, it's going to be really hard for me to give you something from God today. Now, yes, he will use me as his vessel, but he cares more about me becoming who he made me to be more than holding this microphone and standing up here and screaming at you for 45 minutes and saying, I hope that God moves in you. Remember that. What you do behind the scenes matters just as much as what you do out front in front of everyone. So let's continue this. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and will fight him. Saul replied, boy, I'm just kidding. He didn't say boy. He looks at him and says, you're not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth. So in other words, sheep boy, you're in the lightweight division. This is a heavyweight. It's going to be really hard for you to win. Like, go wrestle like 107, 109. This guy's in the 250 plus. He's a big boy. Go let him do his thing. And like, I can imagine David coming to him and he's like, oh, such a good spirit. You know, just taps him on the head. Ding, ding, ding. You know, oh, such a sweet little boy. You can't win. I just want you to know he's a warrior. But I love your spirit. Could you go talk to some people in the army for me right quick and get them fired up? Right? He continues to go that way. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. Excuse me, just 1 second. I seized it by its hair. I seized it by its hair and carried, when it tried to carry off a sheep, I went after, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed technology, y'all. I done told y'all today. It's still acting crazy on me. Sorry about that. I'm going to bend down. We're going to do this. We're just going to go, whoop. Now, let's see what happens. I told y'all. The enemy, predictable resistance. Amen and praise God. You could have a better story than that. If I flipped over, y'all would have pointed and laughed. That would have been even better. I might have split my jeans, so we ain't going to do the back end shot. Don't worry about that. That being said, it says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. I want you to circle that, underline that, the armies of the living God. He doesn't say the armies of Saul. He doesn't say the armies of Israel. He says the armies of the living God. That's in verse 36. Verse 37, going on. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. Time out. We're going to dive into this more farther here in a minute. Don't let man clothe you in the blessing of God because they think you're ready for it and ready for you to take the training wheels off. God will take the training wheels off when he's ready to do it. Don't let man give you the position. Don't let man give you the leadership. Don't let man give you the title that God's already given you because they're ready for you to have it. Let God do it in his timing because he's always on time. He might not be on my time, but he is always on time. And man will always try to get you. Enemy will tell you, hey, here's the clothes of the king. You're about to be king. Hey, here's my robe, dude. Like, don't you think David had it all on? He's got a sword in his belt. Like, he's in the presence of the guy that's sitting in his seat. He's keeping my seat warm, right? He's probably looking at the crown thinking, I can probably wear that. That looks pretty good, right? How many of us would be there? We would celebrate that man has clothed us in this thing that we know God's called us to, right? How many of us would say that? But the enemy will use that just as much as he'll use beating you down and belittling you. He'll make you think that you're ready to take the wheels off. Trust God. Trust the process. Trust his timing. David fastened his sword over his tunic and tried walking around. Because he was not used to them, he said, "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Verse 40 goes on to say, "Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five." If you've got your Bible, circle five. We're going to talk about that number here in just a little bit. Circle five and know what's there. We'll talk about what that means. He took five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. He approached the Philistine. So last week we talked about a number. We talked about 40 being a number of seasons changing, right? We said like, hey, the number 40 shows a change. It shows a generational change. It shows a seasonal change. It shows midlife crisis in today's world. Like, it shows a change in seasons for each and every one of us. Today, I want to tell you, we're going to dive into this in a minute, but the number five, anytime you see it in the Bible, is grace. It's grace. It means God's grace. We're going to dive into that more, but just remember this, if you don't take anything away, before David could ever step into the battle, he had to submit and surrender to God's grace. And he picked up God's grace with him, and he went to go fight this thing that was certain death. Know that what God's called you to, if you're always operating in his grace, you can't help but experience victory and blessing for all that he's called you to do. So today, maybe that's where you're stuck. I don't know. We're going to dive into that. Remember, the number five is grace. And at least the second point, as you're trusting the process, is this. Certain uncertainty. Certain uncertainty. So you're going to... You're just like Tyler, you just put two letters in front of a word. Like, what? Certain uncertainty. I look at this whole thing and I see that Saul is certain they're going to probably be defeated. David is certain that they're going to have victory. He's uncertain on how he's going to do it. When you're following Jesus and you're taking next steps in him to be all he made you to be, you're going to face uncertainty. You're going to face resistance. The difference is you can be certain who holds the victory, and certain will give you the what, certain will tell you the do, and that certain is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Each and every time you go into a battle that's attacking who you are each and every day. And your 2018 can be completely different. The rest of your life can be completely different if you will know that you're going to face uncertainty, but you can be certain in it. I'm going to tell you, your boy ain't great at that. I'm a worrywart by nature, but I can see where God can grow my faith in every uncertain time. I don't know how he does it. It's always his time. I just have to submit and surrender to that, right? But I'm certain that he's going to come through. I'm just kind of uncertain he's going to do it. But then I'm just like, God, are you really going to move? Like, I prayed for angels in the outfield. Like, I prayed for them to win the pennant. I prayed for this, God, and I'm seeing some movement, and I'm with the armies of Israel, and like I'm ready to go, and this fool tried to make me put on his clothes, but I'm wearing my clothes because I don't need to go into battle with this mess. Like, God, I don't understand. Like, why am I going through this? How many of us are stuck there today? We're trying to figure out why we're going through it. We're trying to figure out why we're going through the mess. Why in the world am I here, God? Like, you died to set me free. I'm supposed to have peace. You promised this world will come against me, but I'm supposed to have peace in everything I do. But all I feel like I'm doing is I'm running to the battle. I'm running the battle. I've got resistance on every corner. I'm fighting people. My own family tells me that they're asking me why I'm doing what I'm doing. God, like, what's going on? Like, I'm in the battle and like I'm ready to go, and this guy's trying to give me all the tools for success in my leadership toolbox, right? Like, he's ready to go. They give you the plan. They say, if you just follow the plan, you'll make $1 million, right? Like, love those Facebook ads. Like, right? Like, you have all those things. Like, if you'll just do this, but God, none of it's working. None of it's working. Why? It's because we forgot who we are. We forgot who holds the victory. And all of a sudden, we're stuck and we forget that there is a process. You see, David could have been king right there. What I love is he could have been the king. Like, he played the lyre for the king and was in the presence of the king. Could have killed him there. That would have been a series on Showtime probably, or HBO, right? But he didn't. He didn't. And now he's in the presence of the king again. In the battlefield where the king could have died, he puts on the king's clothes. He probably walked around and was, you know, just, like he was walking around doing his thing as the king. He could have, but he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to be king. God hadn't lined up all the pieces to be king. But where we get stuck is say, I'm ready to be king. Like, come on, it's time to go. Like, I'm ready to do this. This is it, God. You give me the car. You give me the finances. You give me the clothes. You give me the gym membership. You've given me everything. You've even lined up the right job opportunity. Like, it's time for me to finally do what you made me to do, right? But then we get stuck. And we say, but God, I stepped into this. Like, this is what you called me to do, right? And say, yeah, but I didn't tell you that it was time for you to do it yet. You needed to be in the training. Like, there are three missing pieces that have to line up for you to be king. Like, if we go into David's story, like, he's about to be on the run from this battle. He is about to actually be killed for the calling God has on his life. Tried to be killed. He's not actually going to be killed. He's going to be pursued by Saul all the way through. And he's going to be in caves. How many of us would be willing to say, I trust God more in the process to go running in caves than I ever would to go step and wear the king's clothes and not be ready? Because God was lining up all the pieces in his life so that when he came together and it worked out together and it was woven together in this beautiful, beautiful tapestry, as he was getting it together, it allowed more people to see the big picture. But if David would have stepped in like man wanted him to do, man, they would have missed out. You know, it reminds me of somebody else in the Bible that exactly around this time, same thing happened. You see, we remember this guy named Jesus in the New Testament. And there was this thing called Palm Sunday. And they were ready to make him king. Man was ready to clothe him. Man was ready to do things. The entire nation of Israel was like, king, you're the king. The Prince of Peace, you're here. Like, we're finally going to get away from Roman oppression. That's the whole reason you're here, is to set us free so that we're not captive to this Roman oppression again, right? And I think about him in that moment. As he faced predictable resistance. And he was certain what was going to be the outcome. And he was certain that the very people that wanted to anoint him king were the same people that were going to kill him. What if what God's calling you to means that you have to let things die in your life that he never wanted you to be a part of? That's hard. It's a hard thing to do. But you've got to be willing to do that, to be all that God's made you to be. And that means you're going to face the resistance. It means you're going to be certain when the waves are high and the seas are crashing in and who God says he is. I think about all of this, and I wanted to ask you this. Where's your uncertainty in your uncertain times? Odds are all of us are facing uncertain times in something right now. Finances, relationships, spiritual walk, physically. Somewhere in our life we've got uncertainty. Where's your certainty in that? Maybe God's pressing in on you today to find that certainty, to know he is who he says he is. And it's easy for me to stand here and say, if you have relationship troubles and you're uncertain in your relationships, it's really easy for me to be Saul right here and say, oh, well, here's what you need to do. Here's the verses you need to read, and here's the clothes and the robe you need to wear. But that's not why God created it. He created us to be together, to say, all right, man, let's go fight this battle together. Let's go do this thing I don't need your relationship to be perfect because I want it to be perfect. I need your relationship to be what God called it to be. I need your finances to be what God called for it to be in your life. I need your physically, your nature physically, to be what God called it to be in your life. I need your spiritual walk to be what God called it to be in your life. I don't need you to do something because I want you to do it. I want you to do something because God made you to do it. And so many times, we can get stuck in that, right? Maybe I'm the only one that does that, but I see some nods, so I'm hoping God's landing on you to show you your uncertainty. And maybe the king's got his clothes on you today. And there's some titles, there's some appointments that man has put on you that you need to shed, because that's not what God called for you to wear. Maybe you've been vaulted up to be something God's not made you to be. And I want to tell you, you'll never have peace until you step into it. Doesn't mean that you won't have a battle. Doesn't mean that people won't try to knock you down. It just means you need to wear the clothes that God's given you to wear. You'll step into it fully when he's ready for you to do it. I can look back in my life and I can see, like, I would be like David right there. Be like, I'm ready to be king. I got the sword. I feel like King Arthur. Like, let's get the round table together. We're going to have some really cool things, and we're going to rock and roll with it. Like, I'm ready to be king. Like, didn't this guy anoint me? Like, I've already got the spirit on me. I can play some music. I'm very lyrical. I got the spirit. I'm ready to go. Like, I can be king. And I got the clothes on. I'm be like, darn, it fits good, too. It's the right size. This robe is purple. Oh, man, it's royal. Man, I'm good. Like, ooh, it even feels good when I walk. It's like I'm trying on new shoes. Like, this is good. This is good. Let me borrow that crown right quick, Saul. Let me borrow it right quick. Let me see what I got. But then Jesus reminds me, you've already worn more than one crown. The crowns in glory will add up. You just got to trust the process. Don't worry about the crown man's going to put on you. Worry about what I made you for, because the crowns in glory will be greater than you'll ever experience on this earth. That's only if you become who God's made you to be. Let's finish up this story today as we talk about this selfless life that we get to live. And it's 1 Samuel 17, verse 41 through 50. 1 Samuel 17, verse 41 through 50. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him. So circle that. Kind of picture this. You got this big, tall dude. You've got Dikembe Mutombo, like, standing back there. Man, he's got Muggsy Bogues in front of him. If you get sports references, it's like a five-foot guy behind a seven-foot guy. Like, he's got a shield bearer in front of him, right? His shield bearer's in front of him, and he kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw he was little more than a boy. Man, and I get this a lot. Thank y'all for putting this in my comments, too, all right, because I feel really good when you say that. Glowing with health and handsome. You know it. Glowing with health and handsome. And I want you to circle what Goliath feels about David. And he despised him. Who else despised David? Who else burned with anger? His very own brother. The enemy will always despise you being all God made you to be. Whether it's your brother or whether it's your foe, whoever it is, the enemy will always belittle you, will always make you feel like you're not good enough, will always say, hey, ain't you supposed to be king? Like, aren't you supposed to be stepping up? You're just a boy. Go play with the sheep. Go do the thing that you're supposed to. Oh, you go. Oh, so you read your Bible 5 minutes a day? Awesome. Don't you have a Bible to read? Like, get away from me. Like, you're not going to do anything to me. Right? Notice that in your life. Notice that the enemy will do that. If he's not clothing you with clothes you're not ready to wear, he's going to come after you and make you feel like you're not worthy of the calling that he's put on your life. And I want to tell you this big, big secret. None of us are worthy of it. We just get to do it. We get to live it. We get to be a vessel of him because we're surrendered to him. But yet so many times we get stuck in that. And instead of advancing in the battle, we see a little 5'2" shield bearer and this 7-foot monster that's protecting the rim is ready to go, that says, no, no, no. Like, is ready to go. And we can miss out. So let's continue this story. Let's continue the story. As we talked about him despising him, we're going to pick up in verse 43. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Like, think about that. Like, I'm going to feed you to the crows. Like, don't that make you feel good? Like, he's saying, come near me and I'll make sure you're dead. Don't that feel good? Thanks, Goliath. Good to see you too. I was going to ask you to lunch or coffee. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Not in the name of Saul, not in the name of David, not in the name of Israel, in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. If you got a Bible, underline that, circle that, know that the Lord will be the one that delivers, not you. Not the actions you do, not the righteous acts you have, not the money you give to the poor, not the amount of time you pray, not the time you read your Bible. God will give you the victory, and only He can deliver you. It says, "The Lord will deliver you in my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Pause. I think about this. How many times do I feel like Goliath and I got it all together? And here's this thing from the Lollipop Guild that's telling me he's going to kill me and my people. And I'm like, seriously? Oompa Loompa is what it felt like to him, probably. You're going to kill me? You're going to take me down? Really, this little thing? What if I told you the small decisions in your life have made you who you are today, but it's the small decisions you'll make today that make tomorrow either better or worse. The difference is the decision is up to you. And I'm thinking, how many times am I like Goliath? How many times am I looking at the calling that God has on someone else's life and I tell them that it's not big enough and I tell them that they're not good enough? How many times do I look at my circumstances and say that it's too big for God to overcome, that it's too big for me to overcome? How many times do I get stuck there and trying to be who God's made me to be, but instead I feel like Goliath and I'm like, seriously, this little thing's going to take me down? This little high blood pressure, this little diabetes, this little cholesterol, this little not reading my Bible, this little not praying, this little not texting, this little not sending a smoke signal, this little thing's going to take me down? Maybe you're there today. Maybe you feel like that. Know if you're Goliath or David in this situation, because the only way you'll be delivered is through the Lord, and know that when you do get victory, who do you give? Who do you give the credit to? You or God? David made sure it was God. He said, "The world will know that there's a God in Israel." Not the world will know my name. The world will know my name. The world will see Tyler in bright lights shining for all of Spartanburg to see. Like, no, he said, Jesus's name, God's name will be known around the world. That's what God's made you for. Remember, we've talked about your heart. He created you. He's after your heart, and He created you to be a part of what He wants to do to bring the world to Him, not bring the world to you. Know that's where you can be, but the man may clothe you to make the world come to you. Man may beat you down to feel like what you do isn't good enough, but I want you to know that God is with you, and that only through Him can you be delivered. So all those who gather here will know there's a sword. I love this part because this makes me think of Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday too. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David didn't just move closer. Your boy took the training wheels off, and he put that thing in high gear, and he ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, he took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. This is the part of the story we all know. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. What I love here is how David did everything he could to make sure that God got the victory, but the person writing this made sure that David triumphed. That always cracked me up. So if you ever look at a paradox in Scripture, that's a weird one. David said the world will know that the Lord God delivered him. But right here it says, so David triumphed over this Philistine with sling and stone. It's to show that what God's given us is always in our hands. If we take what's in our hands, we'll always experience victory as long as we give it to Him. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Which leads to our last point. As you're trusting the process, only when you face the predictable resistance, and only can you have certainty in uncertain times, can you truly have victorious surrender. victorious surrender. You see, David surrendered the entire battle to God. He surrendered the entire process to become king to God. He just said, God, use me. God, take what's in my hands and use it for your glory. It might be the widow's mite. It might be the rich man that's got it all that just needs to sell it. But take what I have and use it. Use it for your glory. But so many times as I look through trusting the process, man, I get stuck in the resistance. I get stuck in the haters hating. I do. And I'm like, seriously, stop hating. Stay in your lane, right? And then God reminds me, stay in your lane. Don't worry about them. Like, right? Because the haters gonna do it. They always are. That's okay, because they ain't got nothing else to do. Pull up your popcorn. Watch the show. God's gonna move. That's all I'm gonna say. He's gonna do his thing. So many times, I get scared in the uncertainty. I mean, one of the craziest prayers I've ever prayed, and I pray it daily so many times, guys, it's not even funny. God, give me belief in my unbelief. Because I'm certain you're going to win, but right now, the uncertainty is overwhelming me. The circumstance is overwhelming me. The problem is overwhelming me. This calling is never overwhelming me. It's the pressure I put on myself to be who I think I need to be in this calling, not who you made me to be in this calling. That's overwhelming. Maybe that's where you stick too. Maybe you can't get to victorious surrender because you don't even feel like you're going to experience victory. Like, you're like Saul. Like, where was Saul in this whole picture? Like, that's what I feel like. Like, is he chilling in his tent? Like, go on, shepherd boy. Like, what is he doing? Maybe that's where I feel. Like, I feel like the victory is so far away from me that I can never experience it, that I just stay stuck where I'm at. I never take a next step, and I miss out on everything God made me to be. And that's the last thing I want for us as we live this selfless life, because God didn't make us to not have victory, because he's already won it. He has defeated the thing that none of us can, and that thing is death. Death. He's defeated it. There's no amount. You can't do anything to beat it. Go in a crypto thing or whatever the heck, that cryogenic freezing. I said crypto, but cryogenic freezing, whatever you want. Be a robot. Download your brain into something. You're still not going to beat death. We're all going to die on this earth. We're all going to die. Maybe that's the first time you really can take that in. Like, man, the pastor's saying I'm going to die. That's awesome. Guess what? We all are. I am too. It is. It's just part of the process of living on this earth. Part of the process of following Jesus. But the good part is, I have certainty that he's already been the victor over death. And even when I have resistance in that and say, well, aren't you a Christian? You shouldn't have all these health problems if you're a Christian. Well, haters gonna hate, right? Like, it's just part of the process. It's part of the process. You shouldn't have financial difficulties if you're a Christian. If you were praying right, if you were following Jesus right, your finances would be just in line, right? Like, no, that's just part of the resistance. It's part of the resistance we face. But I can have certainty in it, and I can know that we will have victory because I've surrendered myself to Jesus. You know, in the beginning of this, I talked to you about, just a few minutes ago, I talked to you about circling that number 5. Before I do that, let me ask you this question. Sorry, I left this out, but it's important. What are you surrendering your victory to today? Maybe define your victory. What is it? Is it to be all God's made you to be? Is it to have the best car in the neighborhood? Have the best college degree? All great things. Give the most money to charity? All great things. Hey, that's awesome. That's what God's called you to be? That's awesome. I'd love to do that too. Write a $1 million check to charity? That's my lifelong goal. I'd love to do that. I wrote it right now, but it bounced worse than the basketball season or LeBron in the playoffs. You're welcome. Like, it's one of those things, but I have to say is like, where am I surrendering my victory to? What small decision today am I making that's surrendering the victory that God's placed on my life? Because those small decisions will kill me. Those small decisions will just chop away bit by bit and will diminish the victory God wants me to experience. My question for you today as you're trusting the process is, in 2018, you probably wrote some goals. In 2018, the one thing that I've wanted for all of us more than anything is to know what God wants for us this year. Maybe it's just one thing that God wants for us this year. But what are we doing today to surrender that victory? Are we surrendering ourselves to the one who's already given us the victory to experience it? That's the big question. So as I wrap up today and as we get ready for invitation, I just want to say there's a number that I told you to circle. The number 5. You know, so many of us haven't ever experienced victory because we've never surrendered to the grace of God. We've never accepted the grace of God. We've never seen the victory because we don't know what the grace of God looks like. We think the grace of God is that he's an angry God and he's a fiery God and he's a jealous God. And you know what? He is. He's so jealous that he wants you and he's after your heart so much that he sent the one thing that he had and gave it up for us, and that's his son Jesus. And he had enough grace on us through his son that Jesus lived the perfect life that we couldn't live and died the death that we all deserved for our sin, but loved us enough that he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. He left an empty tomb so that we can live life that is heaven on earth. We don't have to wait to experience heaven, guys. I don't know if you know this, but if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you get a glimpse of heaven every day. You get to live heaven every day because Jesus brought heaven down to earth. That was what he did. He gave us victory over death. But here's the thing. We have to experience and accept God's grace before we can have victory. So for many in the room today, you've never experienced God's grace, but you expect victory. And remember the process? You got to trust the process. The first thing you've got to do to experience true victory in your life is to experience the grace of God and know he is who he says he is. So as we get ready to close out here, I'm going to ask every head to bow and every eye to close. And I just want to ask you, have you ever experienced the grace of God? Have you been to this place where you can experience the victory of God? And if you haven't, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to do that today. I'm going to ask you to just repeat the words of this prayer, because it's not the prayer that matters. It's the faith in the prayer. It's the faith to say, God, I receive your grace. God, I receive your gift in your son. God, take over my life. That's what we're about to pray. And it's because we can experience all that God has for us in this life only when we've surrendered to his grace. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm going to ask for the benefit of those who are coming to Jesus for the first time, I'm going to ask you to repeat the words of this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, deserving of death. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and love me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may live. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you, step by step, the best way I know how. And I receive, by faith, your grace in my life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to 3. Maybe you're online watching. Maybe you're watching. It's Wednesday and you're not here live with us right now. But I'm just going to ask you on the count of 3 to raise your hand. If that was you, and it's the first time that you prayed that prayer, I'm going to count. I want you to experience victory. I want you to have certainty in this life. I want you to face resistance, but know that it doesn't matter, because the one who holds the victory wants to give you life. That's you. I'm going to count to 3. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Maybe that's you online. I'm going to ask you to reach out to me or reach out to The Vine. Just email hello@thevine.tv or comment below this video. We would love to celebrate with you making this decision. And for everyone else, I'm going to pray and we're going to worship. And we are going to have the best year yet. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. We love you. We just lift your name high. And as we go into this song, we are literally surrendering all to you. We're surrendering everything that we carried in here. We're laying it at your feet because, like David knew, God, you're the only one that can give us victory. You're the only one that can give us certainty. You're the only one that will take the resistance in our life and crush it. And it's only by you that we can do it. So today we want to give your name fame in all that we do. We love you, Lord, and it's your name we pray. Amen.